Well, how are you all doing this morning?
All right, all right. Well, Children's Church today, you're going to be talking and studying about the strength and help that we get from Jesus Christ. We've been talking about that for quite a while, haven't we? Yeah. Well, I'm going to read a passage of Scripture. It's on your take-home note, but I would just like to read it and then make a couple of comments. Can I do that? Yeah. Is that all right? Maybe you'll have something to say, too. You think so? Oh, yeah. Good stuff. So here's what a man named the Apostle Paul wrote to a church in a place called Philippi. All right? What's that?
That's a weird name.
It is a weird name. But you don't want to tell the Philippians that.
No.
Yeah. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need. Now, don't forget that. Hear that? He said, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation to be content. Everybody know what content is?
No.
No?
No.
Well, a lot of people don't know what content is, so don't.
Huh?
We have a lot of trouble being content, I'm telling you. It just means happy, at peace, comfortable. Whatever we have is enough. Wherever we're at is good enough. We're just content. We're at peace. Does that make sense? Okay. So we don't need any more. We don't need any more than what we have. We're happy. All right. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Listen to this verse now. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share in my trouble. So you see, Paul got help not only from the Lord, that's who he trusted the most, his primary, first place of help, but he also got help from other people. Now that sounds like a pretty upbeat message, doesn't it? He was happy, he was at peace, he was content, he was full of joy, he didn't need anything. Do you know where he was when he wrote this letter?
In a cave.
He was in prison. Pretty close. Pretty close. He was in prison. Now, wait a minute. How can a guy in prison be that satisfied? Because he knew somebody. He knew somebody. You know who that somebody was?
Jesus.
That's right. See, Jesus was all he needed. It didn't matter if he had nothing else. He had Jesus, and that was enough. You know, I've been in a lot of prisons talking to people who are in jail and in prison, and I've spent time with a lot of prisoners, and I've met some of the freest men I've ever met behind bars. They're free. They're free. Amen? And folks, that's the way we need to see Christ. He sets us free no matter where we're at, no matter what our circumstance, it's good, it's bad, it's tough, and we're going to have tough times. We're going to have struggles. But I want you to know, Jesus will always be enough. Okay?
Okay.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the promises you've given us. We thank you for the Son who is our strength, who is our help in the good times and in the difficult times. We thank you that we are free in Christ. And he will never, ever, ever leave us or forsake us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you for the help, too. Children's Church. Bye-bye, buddy. Isn't that a pleasant herd sound? Yeah. Well, I tell you why they're making their transition. And if you have children, obviously you're welcome to exit to Children's Church, and they'll meet you there at the doors and get you to where you need to be. The last couple, 3 weeks, Connie and I have certainly been blessed with so many dishes of expressions of love. So we thank you for all of the concern, the prayer, the support, and the good food that was delivered to our house. I know that there are still some dishes and whatnot in the kitchen, and we think they have people's names all sorted out. You can wash them if you like. Typically, when the dog gets done with them, we just put them back in the cupboard. So, but if you prefer, you they look clean. But Connie is here with me this morning, and praise God, her healing is going well. And she better hurry, because I think I've got a way figured out to mount a chainsaw on that scooter. Boy, you could rev that puppy up, couldn't you? Let's pray together. And again, from the very depth of our heart, Connie and I and the children are very, very thankful for the love and support that this church has given us through this time of surgery and healing. And now, Father, we come to the greatest thanks we have, the greatest thanks we could ever give, that we have the privilege of being called your children. And, Father, may we continually come to a deeper understanding, a more in-depth understanding of what that means and what that cost you to become your children. So, Father, we give thanks, and we also come with petitions for those who are at home, Father, struggling through the winter season as we've had here these last couple, 3 weeks. For those who are recovering from surgery and other illnesses. For those, Father, I know who are facing some medical needs. But, Father, I hope we believe what we just learned through the children's sermon. No matter what it is, no matter what we face, no matter what we go through, Jesus will always be enough. And we're thankful for that. Take us through our time now, Father, in this message. Give us that understanding, we pray, as we learn about who we are in Christ and why we even exist. For it's in Christ's name and for his glory that we pray. Amen. Well, as I mentioned last week, we'll continue through a series. I just really feel that I sense that we just need to take the whole book. So we're going to walk our way through the book of Ephesians. And that will be today, verses 1 through 14. And our purpose in this is very specific. And number one, it's to understand our identity, who we are in Christ, because before we came to Christ, we were a different person. We had a different nature. We had a different mind. We had a different way of doing things, thinking things, acting, all of these things. But when we come to Christ, we become a new creation, and our identity changes, because now we identify with Christ. And in that transition, or I should say that transformation, also comes a new purpose. See, before Christ, we lived for ourselves. That's basically it. We just lived for ourselves. But now that we're in Christ, we live for him. So it's this deep personal relationship, he and us, us and him, and we're one with him, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're in unity. We're in harmony, and now we live for a greater glory, not our own, not our own. What a pitiful way of living, living for one's own glory. But now we can live for the glory of God, the one who created us, the one who designed us, the one who put a purpose in place for us. So identity and purpose. Has anybody ever wondered why they were born? Anybody ever wondered why they're here and not here? Just, why do you exist? What's my purpose? What's the plan? What's the big picture? Have you ever wondered what happens when this is all over? You see, Jesus is the answer to all of that. He's the answer to our origin. He's the answer to our purpose. He's the answer to our future in all eternity. So the answer is simple. I can answer all three of those questions. You have to know Jesus to know the answer to all those questions. Let's stand as we read from Ephesians 1, and we'll be reading the first 14 verses. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he has set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are in the first hope, first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Wow. Wow. How many got their fire lit? Yeah. Well, go dry out your kindling if it ain't burning. Okay? Father, we thank you for your word. My goodness, you talk about the living word. That scripture lives. It breathes life. And we're so thankful that it's been preserved for us down through the centuries. So, Father, may your word be blessed. May it be a blessing to you as it's studied. And may we grow in the grace and knowledge of all that you have for us. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Very quickly, the author under the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul, first visited Ephesus about 53 AD on his first missionary journey, Acts chapter 18, if you care to review that. 2 years later, he would return on his third missionary journey, and he stayed there about 2 years. So Paul had a lot invested in the church at Ephesus. The aim of those visits, and by the way, this letter would come about 10 years later. The aim to teach the Christians riches in Christ. He wants the Christians to know how wealthy they are. And not one thing in the list of wealth has anything to do with this world. Isn't that amazing? But he wants us to know the riches that are ours in Christ Jesus and the blessings of our identity. So we have the source of all of this is Christ himself. God's glory, God's grace, God's mercy, unsearchable riches are all found in Christ. The scope is purely spiritual, not earthly, and the sphere is in the heavenly places. Unsaved riches are the things of this world. The believer's riches are all stored up in heaven. And that is the thread that runs through this text. So let's jump into our outline. We were created on purpose for a purpose. You are not an accident. You are not an accident. You were created for a purpose. And this message this morning, may I be sure to note this, is for born-again believers. If you are not saved, if you are not born again, pay close attention and we can settle that at the end of this message. But I'm telling you, this message is for those who have been born again through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are going to see that salvation is a work. You talk about how much it takes to get a sinner like me saved. It takes the Father, it takes the Son, and it takes the Holy Spirit. I was a mess. Took all three of them. Guess what? Took all three of them to save you too. And that's the examination that we'll go through in this message. The role each played. The triune God, one in essence, equal in every way, but independently functioning. Okay? Doing a individual work. So number one, we were planned by God the Father. Folks, that ought to just shake your shackles. Think about that. God planned the universe. He planned the cosmos, the stars, the everything that exists in every place that we can see and beyond what we have ever discovered. He planned it. He put it in place. He organized it, and it stays there for the glory of His Son. And He planned you and me in the midst of all of that. Now, that's just almost overwhelming. That's mind-boggling. That each person in this assembly is a unique, individual, miracle creation of God. Created according to His purpose. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, for the will of God to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful to Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. So we're going to look very quickly at the blessings from the Father. The blessings from the Father. First of all, He's chosen us. Now this is a doctrine that has been so misunderstood and so misused and applied. We're going to take a moment just to talk about it. The doctrine of election has confused some, confounded others, because man seems to have a need to have God completely figured out. And I tell you what, it ain't going to happen. That doesn't mean we can't know Him. We can know Him. That doesn't mean we can't know His will. We can know His will. We can understand Him. We can see through the revealed words of Scripture. We can understand and know God. But the mind of God has places in it that is beyond our comprehension. So get over it. That's all I can tell you. We just need to get over it. So what does this mean? He chose us to hear the message of salvation. That's what this word says. He chose us to hear. We chose to believe. End of discussion. He chose us to hear. He's going to give everybody an opportunity to be saved. The world will hear. But everybody in the world isn't going to accept it. They're not going to believe. He chose to extend an invitation to all who believe. Salvation begins and ends with God. This in no way compromises His sovereignty. In no way compromises His sovereign work. Because God still is the author of salvation and the keeper of those who are saved. Nobody can undo what God does. So the fact that God chose us in a predestined plan, and here's where it comes down. Here's where it hits the road. Are you ready? If I would have heard the message, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and refused it, there is a predestined place I'm going to go. I'm going to hell. It's already determined. There's no other place. If I don't know Jesus, if I've never accepted Christ as my personal Savior, there's only one other place you're going to go, and that's hell. But if I do receive Christ, I make a decision to receive Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, guess what? God has predetermined a place for every believer to go. Is that complicated? The saved go to heaven, the lost go to hell. You choose. You choose. I had to choose. Everybody has to choose. You're not going to get there on anybody's shirt tail or apron strings. I'm sure Aunt Bessie was a godly woman, but you're not going to go to heaven just because she did. Are you with me? Everybody has to choose. But wait, He cannot start that work or finish that work until we respond to the message, the word, the gospel, and accept his invitation. Sovereignty and free will are not opposed or in conflict. They work in perfect harmony. Amen. And God has in place two plans that we just covered. So I pray today that you receive the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because God has a place for you in glory if you do. He chose us. Number two, he adopted us. If election refers to people, predestination refers to purpose. We do not get into God's family by adoption. Now listen to this. Listen to this. This is a real stickler of clarification. We don't get into God's family by adoption. We get in through regeneration. You follow me? He can't adopt us until we're acceptable and meet the qualifications of his family. Now, since regeneration brings the sanctification of the Holy Spirit, once we come into a personal relationship with Christ, God says, hey, you're mine. Now, I don't, you know, regeneration, adoption, justification, sanctification, if you want to try to figure out the order, you go ahead and figure it out. I'm telling you, it all happens at the moment you receive Christ. Do we need to go back over that real slow? Folks, this is important, and not only important, but exciting. It's exciting. Regeneration makes us acceptable for adoption. We now qualify to be in God's family. Now we qualify for the riches of Christ and become co-heirs. Romans 8, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and of children then heirs, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. So God has given us these riches. Thirdly, God has accepted us. Now we'd think that comes through adoption, and it does, but it's an important principle or point to consider. God has accepted us. Folks, please, friends, neighbors, I have heard too many people tell me when I talk about church or invite them to church, and they say, well, I just need to get some things cleaned up in my life before I go. I think we mentioned this even maybe last week. Give up. Give up. Remember who you are without Christ? That rejected, detestable, unwanted Samaritan woman at the well. That even had to go get her bucket filled when nobody else was around because they didn't like foul company. That's who we are. So if you think you can get yourself cleaned up, then that makes a complete fool out of what Christ did on the cross. Do you hear me? Hear me clearly. If you think you can improve your condition or improve yourself in any way, shape, or form, if you are just set a goal in your life to become a better person, give up. Give up. It's impossible. Again, that's why Christ died. Do not mock his suffering and death by thinking you can be good enough. Please. I don't know how much more clear that I can make that. Let's move on. Point number two. We are purchased by God the Son. So we are planned by God the Father. We're purchased by God the Son. In him we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Which, there's that word riches again. Do you see that? Again. Which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven, things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. So we were purchased by the Son. The blessings are these. And I realize I didn't set blanks there after these. You can jot them in if you so desire. Number one, he redeemed us. The first blessing is he redeemed us. He purchased in order to set free. That's part of the redemption plan, even in the early Roman Empire, that you could purchase a slave with the intended purpose, the intended goal to set that slave free. They didn't have to remain in bondage. They didn't have to remain a slave. If you owned them, you could set them free or keep them in that bondage. Christ redeemed us in order to set us free. Brought out of bondage of sin and death to be forgiven and set free. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways of inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. That was what Jesus paid for our redemption, our ability to be set free. Set free from the law that condemns us. Set free from the slavery to sin and selfishness. Set free from the power of Satan. Set free to serve the living God and what? To fulfill our purpose for existing. That's what freedom is for the believer. He redeemed us. Huge doctrine of redemption. He has forgiven us to erase or carry away. In the Old Testament, on the Day of Atonement, two goats, one sacrifice, and one sent into the wilderness. One would die. One would shed the lifeblood, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins, the Scripture says. One also would have the burden and guilt of sin laid upon it and sent out into the wilderness to wander and perish, to never be seen again. We get the term a scapegoat from that practice, actually. Jesus did both. He bore our sins, the consequence, and broke sin's power. Number three, Jesus the Son revealed God's will to us. He revealed God's will to us. In the text, it calls this a mystery. Don't confuse this with enigma. It's a mystery that has been revealed, a mystery that can be known. The mystery is a sacred secret that is revealed through the new birth, and that secret is God's purpose in our life. Folks, if you look at the way Paul begins his letter, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, that man knew who he was and why he existed. You see it? He knew exactly who he was and what his purpose was. Fourthly, he made us an inheritance. Again, from 1 Peter, who comments to this, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. That's a secure inheritance, folks. And get, where's it at? Where's it being stored? Not on this earth. God has no use for earthly junk. He has no use for earthly junk. He is very concerned and very possessive of heavenly treasure. And listen to me. When we become a believer, we become part of that heavenly treasure. We are co-heirs with Christ. In other words, we are an inheritance to Christ. Christ ushers us into glory, and God says, look here at our inheritance, Dad. And we all join then in the heavenly inheritance. Folks, we got to quit putting dollars and cents on what it means to be rich as a Christian. It has absolutely zero to do with the things of this earth. And we spend most of our time collecting what? Things of this earth. God help us. Nothing wrong with having things, the old boy said, but there's a big problem when the things have us. Thirdly, final point, we are preserved by God the Holy Spirit. Verses 13 and 14, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. The blessings of the Spirit, number one, he sealed us. We hear the gospel, the good news. We believe in the message that we hear. We receive the Holy Spirit. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. God is not going to take back his deposit, and he is not going to cast us out of his family and renege on his adoption. It isn't going to happen. It isn't going to happen, folks. And we look at a deposit as a portion or a percentage. Some translations, some versions of Scripture say an earnest. And we look at the word earnest in light of how we view it today. I remember, you know, you put down an earnest on a house, okay? You go buy a house, you give them a check for a set amount of dollars, and that's an earnest that you're seriously interested. But that deposit can be given back if you decide not to purchase, right? Well, you need to read the contract and make sure, okay? But the point is this: God gives an earnest, but it's not a percentage, it's not a portion, it's the whole shebang. The whole person of the Holy Spirit is our deposit. Come on. And once he takes up residence, he don't like to move. Hallelujah. That's right. See, folks, if we can't get our gears turning over this, then there's something wrong. We're out of grease or just plumb froze up. You ever had that happen, Stan? You have anything freeze up in the last couple weeks? Everything. Yeah. God is not going to undo our adoption. The sealing indicates clearly a finished transaction. It's not a partial, it's not the beginning, it's the beginning and the end at the same time. Once you are saved to the uttermost, to the very end, and God is going to get you home. Hallelujah, God is going to get us home, not because we're so good, but because he is so faithful. The believer is therefore no longer his own, but belongs to God the Father through the sacrifice of God the Son and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Let me repeat that. The believer is therefore no longer his own, but belongs to God the Father through the sacrifice of God the Son and sealed by God the Holy Spirit. We're owned, we're secure, we're safe, we're protected because the transaction is finished at the moment we believe. Secondly, he gave us himself to guarantee that that would all happen. Now, we're a little redundant there, repeating, but it's important that we understand the earnest was the full. The earnest was the full price. That's like looking at Calvary and say, Jesus' death was almost enough to save everybody. Well, that's blasphemous. Either it was enough to save everybody that would believe, or it was not enough to save anybody. There's no in between. So the summary, the true riches and blessings only come from God. Only come from God. And folks, this is our joy. This is our hope. This is why I get so excited. And we're not going to get into trading sins. Well, that doesn't sound right, does it? You know, I'll give you two of mine, you give me one of yours. Yeah. Trading stories. But I can tell you this. I was a filthy sinner. But by the grace of God, I still would be. Now I'm a sinner saved by grace. And God's still working in me. I'm not yet what I ought to be, but I'm nowhere near what I used to be. That's the story of every Christian in here, folks. And all of our riches are not only stored in glory, but are for the glory of God. We came into this world with nothing. Somebody said that once, didn't they? And you know what? We're going out with nothing of this world. Nothing. So rather than putting my faith in a savings plan here on this earth, I would much rather have my life saved by the power of God. And he has already not only made his deposit in me, but deposited me in glory. We'll get to that next week. If you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, folks, I'm not a highly educated man. I think what I preached this morning, by the grace of God, I believe is at a level of understanding that everybody could understand. But if there are questions, and I'm serious about this, if there are questions, please do not leave here with them. Let some of us, myself or one of the elders or someone here, try to help you answer those questions. But if you're not saved, I pray right now the Holy Spirit is letting you know that. And if you were to be asked right now, when you die, will you go to heaven? And if your answer is, I hope so, you're lost. Salvation from Christ does not come like a birthday wish. It comes with the absolute assurance that you're a child of God. And you're not born that way. Listen to me carefully. I've heard this, and, well, don't you think we're all children of God? No. No, that isn't what the Bible says. The lost are children of Satan. So let's take a moment of silence. And with earnest hearts, say, God, am I really your kid? Have I really confessed my sins? And from my heart that I know that I'm a sinner? Have I really placed all of my hope in the finished work of Jesus Christ? That by his blood and his blood alone, I can be saved. Father, I need to know right now. I need to know right now. If I'm saved or lost, please show me. And then give me the spiritual guts to do something about it. Stand as we have our invitation hymn and time of invitation. The altar is open, and I assure you, so are the arms of Jesus. They're open. And once we understand what a sinner we are, I tell you what, our heart's just going to overflow when we discover what a Savior he is. It's incredible. Is it fun, Loretta? And don't get into this measuring sins. Don't get into that. Don't even go there. None of us measure up. None of us measure up. That's the purpose of the cross of Christ. He's our measure. Let's sing, please.